This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? 0-0 draw at Anfield against the Scouse Bastards. Maybe it was there to be had. United probably didn't play up to their ability. Offense was a little off. Defense played well. But it's a point against a good side. And I know people are going to be whinging, but it's not a bad result for United.
Sir, whinging? I mean, this is one of those top of the table. I mean, like, top of the table. I got nothing to complain about.
Clean sheet against a team that scores a lot of goals. And you would say, you know, is a draw fair? Probably. But we had the better chances. They had more possession. I think if United was playing up to their ability, the game was there to be had. We just didn't play well enough.
Ollie's at the wheel, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
I mean, look, Ollie's at the wheel. United, look, the first half, a little scratchy, sir. Some of the passing was scratchy. United did grow into the game. We had the better chances. I felt like when it opened up in the second half, Liverpool had really nothing going forward. You know, they look, we kind of played in their hands a little bit. Like I said, when we sat back too much in the first half, I thought when we opened the game up in the second, the difference between Pogba and Bruno was there to be made, and even Rashford a few times. But you know, it just wasn't our day. A little off up top, like you said, our attack wasn't on. And to not play your best football and to look the better side at the shitbox, aka Anfield,
ain't bad.
This team, I mean, I'm using this one as like a measuring stick for Manchester United and where we're headed. And it's like right now, sir, title favorites.
No, I mean, maybe people in England aren't saying it. People in America aren't saying it, but it certainly feels like that coming out of that game. You know, like you said, last year when we lost to the Bin Dippers at their place, we were 27 points behind them, lost 2-0, got played off the park arguably. Today, we went toe-to-toe and didn't play our best football by any means. You know, I think a United team that is stringing passes together and being direct and not giving the ball away as much as we did in the first half, they were there to be had. You know, the defense over the top, Rashford with 5 offsides. it wasn't a perfect performance, but I think we needed to play better in order to get 3 points. But it's not a bad result, and it's not something that you can worry too much about. You just move on from here, and we still top.
No, hindsight is 20/20, but like you said, they were there for the taking. I think the frustration thing for fans, probably on Twitter, haven't really looked at social media yet, but we could have beat them. You know, yeah. If we just went with the two, play 3 up front, maybe you put Greenwood on the right, you put Rashford on the right, you put Martial on the left, you put Cavani up top, and you just go at them toe-to-toe, I think we win the game. I think that is what's frustrating. We came out with the sit deep in their house. You got to show them respect. They haven't lost there in, like you said, almost
four years.
And I thought we showed them a little too much respect in the first half, but then we start getting in the game, and it opened up. We looked the more dangerous side, and our defense did hell. They played well, sir. Clean sheet. You know, a lot of positives to take away here. Again, a big 0-0 and another big match for Manchester United. But look, if you're drawn away, you win your matches at home, you're going to be lifting some silverware. And at the start of the season, I mean, come on. Beggars can't be choosers, sir. We're in a title race.
We're in a title race, and these points are important. The fact that you're going to hold the line, right, because you lose this game, Liverpool go above you, that didn't happen today. And that's important. It's important psychologically. And I think United feels like that game was there to be won. You know, there's some pissed off players. You saw Bruno coming off the end. He knows they had their chances. And if they had taken them, it would have been a different result. But now you can't rest from here. Fulham is now the important one, right? Like the Bin Dippers, you're going to drop points. You might lose. You might just draw. And that's not bad. But now you got to go beat Fulham, right? We're going to Craven Cottage. That's the big 3 points.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I was so focused on this game, I didn't even check who was next. You tell me Fulham, sir, I'm happy.
Great place. Craven Cottage. It's a great ground. Would love to be there at the way end, just singing with the United fans.
So was the last time Manchester United played in Craven Cottage? You mean were there, sir, in the stands singing Ollie's at the Wheel?
It was February 19.
That was correct. Great place. If you're going to watch a match, you get in away at Craven Cottage. It's in London. You can make the flight. Easy to get to London. Manchester United come packed out, sir. Fulham sells a lot of tickets to United fans. Great crowd. Great atmosphere. A couple of dark ales. You love it, sir.
And it's also, even if you're not going to see United match, it's a great stadium for a neutral.
No, absolutely. It's a very nice, kind of, there is actually a cottage in the stadium.
It's wild.
Like, it's so funny. You watch it on TV for so long, and then you go there and there's actually a cottage. kind of strange. That's where the owner sits, or I don't know what's going on here. Let's get into the PSA here for the podcast. We're already on a tangent early. If you'd like to support the America Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You can support us on Patreon. Visit our page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We have exclusive content there. If you would like to support us and you like independent fan content, we believe this is a way to do it. We don't have any sponsors on the podcast. You can support us with a few tiers. We have anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts as well. Big shout out to Brian Burbrink, who became a big Patreon member for us. You know, shout out to him. We really think this is the way forward for us. We don't want to have any special interest or anything controlling what we say. We want to be supported directly by you, the fans. So check out our Patreon page. Also, if you want to support us, Patreon is not your thing. Check out our store, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store and check out our amazing fan content on our website, sir. The blog is doing amazing. You're the editor in chief. How's it coming?
Sir, AmericanRedDevils.com. We are ripping and rolling. We've got contributors from all over the globe. And if you're interested in writing, reach out to us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will see what we can do. Another great way that you can support the pod is get a 5-star review on iTunes, sir. They've been coming in hot, and I think we have 5 stars overall. So that's huge. If you take a screenshot and send it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail with your address, we will mail you some free stickers. This is it. This is Manchester United. This is American Red Devils. We're giving you the biased takes. So this is not NBC Sports. You're not going to get like Arlo White just hemming and hawing. Yeah, we had to turn it off. We had to turn off the audio, which is something. We had to mute them.
We literally played music and muted the TV because we were watching the Sky feed. It was kind of a little interrupted due to internet issues. And we got to switch over to Peacock, and immediately Arlo White's talking about how Ole's almost fired. They're talking about all, and I'm like, how could you be we're on top of the league? I mean, it's just, the bias is so amazing. That's why we're here, sir. We're here to fight against the bias. You want to support us? You know, we do it for the love of the game. We've been doing this since 2017, and, you know, started from the bottom. Now we're here, you know, sir. We started doing it on the couch. Now we have a bunker in your garage. Maybe one day we'll have heating and cooling. Who knows?
Hey, brick by brick, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was the pod room, neither was the American Red Devils. Anything that is going to be great takes time, just like this team, right?
Exactly.
It's brick by brick. It's not going to happen overnight. Yeah. And unbelievable. They're like, is he at risk for his job? It's like, aren't they in first place? Aren't they in first place?
So we're here to counteract that bias. You know, we hate the Scouse Bastards. Let's get into the match recap. Scouse Bastards, 0. Manchester United, greatest team, sir. Greatest in world football. We won it all, 0. At the shitbox, NBC Sports, Peacock. That's a crime in and of itself, sir. Quick tangent on that one.
I know. Oh, my
God. How is this not on TV?
It's the marquee game of the week, certainly. One of the biggest
seasons.
I mean, it is. It's one of the big rivalries in European football. I mean, that's just everything you want to know about NBC Sports and how much they care about their fans, users. It's like, you want to watch the big game? Go to Peacock. Go to Peacock.
It's a shameless grab. It's like this one. It's like, sir, Super Bowl ain't going to be on Peacock.
No.
I'll tell you that. Let's get into that lineup. Dave says world number one in net. Luke Shaw at left back. Maguire, Lindelof center back pairing. Wan-Bissaka on the right. McTominay, Fred midfield. Pogba on the left, Fernandes in the hole, Rashford on the right, and Martial up top.
You know, a lot of good here. I was excited to see Pogba playing up front with obviously McTominay and Fred sitting back and, you know, playing that workman role. I was a little surprised not to see Eric Bailly after how well he's been playing, but I think, you know, Ole's figured he's running pretty well. He's been playing well. We don't want to overplay our hand and have him get injured. And to be honest, Vic played very well. So other than that, would have liked to see maybe Edinson, because the influence that he has, the work rate, but it's a very sensible starting 11 from Ole.
This game had Cavani all over it. The makeshift center back pairing from Liverpool, the intensity he brings up front, hold up play, sir, getting in behind. I just really thought that the move was to drop McSauce, put Pogba with Fred, and then get Cavani up top, put Martial on either side of him, and kind of go at Liverpool. It's a bold move. I think we kind of came out as planned, as predicted, sit back. It did play into their hand to start the game a little bit, and that's what I was worried about when we kicked things off.
No, we showed them too much respect, right? We sat back and we wanted to do the whole counter game, which is how Ole used to play when all you had was Dan James and no Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba was injured. But today, First half and second half was totally different. First half, we sat back. You know, we were giving him way too much of the ball. And then the second half, it opened up. We were the more threatening side. We had the better chances. And that's probably how we should have gone from the jump with an 11 to suit, right? Maybe you put in Matic and played him more, a little offensively. I don't know. But either way,
fortune favors the bold, sir. First half, United come out, intent to defend, sitting everyone back, kind of like Villa, sir. Not much doing it. It was a little cagey first 20 minutes. 22nd minute, Pogba gave the ball away. Liverpool about to break. Lindelof puts in a good block. Lindelof did have a great game. A lot of people, I'd say the number one storyline is why isn't Bae starting going into the game, but I would say Lindelof, Iceman, played well.
He played terrific. He, you know, the whole back line played really well. He did. Maguire, Shaw was like lights out. And that's what you're going to need, right? Because you can't keep Ryan Bae because we know his injury record, and you need Vic in the mix contributing. So he had a great game. Credit to Ole.
34th minute, Bruno goes close with a fizzing free kick, sir, not far off. I mean, one of those days you wish the free kick could be the difference here. I thought this was in. The angle, the TV angle, I thought this was in.
It looked close. You know, this goes in, changes the game for sure, but just off. I mean, a whisper off, it was a good take.
The fine margins of the title race, 35th minute, good chance for Liverpool at the other end. Firmino shot deflected. This one, you know, Liverpool... End-to-end, you know, it looked like open play. They were going to be more dangerous to score in the first half. I think it did turn around in the second. But, you know, going in at halftime, sir, what were you making of? Should Ole make some changes here? I thought Cavani was a must.
Yeah, I thought a sub at halftime would certainly, you know, be acceptable. I think he was saying, this team, you're good enough to sit and play with this Liverpool side. Take it to them. And I think we saw a change of mentality in the
nervy.
Second half.
It was a little nervy. Yeah, I'm not going to say first half nervy. I think the second half they made up for it.
We were much better in the second half. First half, they looked a better side.
Absolutely. Second half, United come out better, holding their own against the Scouse Bastards. 52nd minute, ball falls well to Bruno. After United speeded up, Trent pulls in and puts in a nice block. 60th minute, Maguire puts in a great block on Firmino. I mean, it was really end-to-end. I felt like we did look vulnerable when we were countering, but you could tell at this point in the game, sir, I looked at you, I said, this is going to be the longest 30 minutes. You know, this
the 50th minute, you said, how long has half been going?
It feels like, I felt like it was 80. I felt at some points it was 87th minute. We're defending a one-goal lead here. It was nervy all around. 61st minute, sub Cavani comes on. I thought, again, who is he going to take off, though? He takes off Martial. I was telling you it's got to be a Rashford. What did you make of him taking off Martial?
You know, we were talking about it. The thing is, Marcus has always got like a little bit of brilliance in his back pocket. He can pull it out. But I would agree. He looked a little bit off. I thought Martial's holdup was pretty good doing the job. I think you combine that with Cavani. I just think, you know, he's sometimes hesitant to pull his main man. He's been doing it to Bruno. There's no reason you can't like hook Rashford. It wasn't his day.
No, yeah, I think you're right here because Martial, to me, playing off Cavani is a little more dangerous. I think we saw that, which we talk about the chance for United here when we break and Rashford doesn't find Cavani there. You know, I kind of always felt that Martial might be better with him, and I do think that was the case. I don't think Rashford really played his way later into the game like we've seen before. He scored against Wolves late. I just don't think it was his day.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, he probably played worse in the last 30 minutes than the first 60 minutes once that sub was made, to be honest. So whether that was the right change or not, but he wasn't clicking 100%. Neither was Bruno. And that's why, you know, we didn't get a goal today.
Again, the fine margins in a title race, sir. Inches. Can't believe it. We're in it. 75th minute, huge chance for United. Shut Shaw. This came from Rashford. Rashford running at... I forget, was it Trent Alexander-Arnold, lays it off for Shaw, cuts it back into the box. Bruno gets a hit on it. Allison kick save. Not going to call it a beaut, but, you know, tight stuff there. I thought that was a great goal-scoring opportunity for Manchester United.
Oh, it was a great chance. One of the best chances of the game for United. Well done from Shaw cutting it back. Bruno, I mean, if he hits it right, he got a little bit of a skid on it, but it's a close one.
But again, you put Rashford on the left, and you get that Shaw overlap. It looks more dangerous, so, you know, caveat to the Rashford criticism, he is playing on the right and he's trying to you know, stop children being hungry throughout the world. So you got to give him a break a little bit. 78th minute, great save from De Gea on Thiago. Thiago dusted Fred in the midfield. I would say Fred had a great game. This one, fine margins again, great hit. De Gea wise to it. Solid game from De Gea as well. You know, he had... It's a little nervy game, no errors, clean at the back from De Gea, even though the play out the back was nervy, sir.
The first
very
half.
Nervy, very nervy. That one, I felt like playing it out the back played in Liverpool's hands. I say hoofball it to Cavani. Much better strategy, I think.
No, it was very nervy in the first half. We seemed to switch it up, played a little quicker in the second half, but we were inviting pressure, right? Just like playing way too slowly and, you know, almost asking them to make an error here, you know, giving the ball away.
Yeah, we made it easy for Liverpool at times. You know, it's like we're trying to play out the back. We make bad passes, errors going back to them. It was really tough. 82nd minute, United on the break with numbers. Rashford doesn't get it to Cavani. A little selfish here. He had the pull back to Pogba as well. You know, I said atrocious here. A very poor decision making and kind of on theme with Rashford in the last three games. Too much hero ball from him. I do like Rashford taking the man on, but when you got Cavani,
numbers.
You got
numbers.
You got Pogba on the pullback, and then you kind of dribble into nowhere and lose it. You know, that's a little wasteful. He should know by this time in his career. That's why I thought maybe Martial would have the layoff there.
Well, these are the chances that matter, right? Last 10 minutes of the game, you have them on the break, you turned it over, and you have numbers. It's like Cavani's making that nice run. You got Pogba on the right, and you just try and, like you said, it is hero ball. We've seen it from Marcus, especially over the last five games, where he just keeps going and going. You got to just pick your head up, pass the ball.
And you got to give our attack time. You know, you got Greenwood, you got Cavani, you got Martial, you got Rashford, and we haven't seen a lot of minutes, all three of those players together. So, you know, hopefully it will start clicking. And that's also the upside. Imagine when Rashford is on. Imagine when Martial is on. Imagine when Greenwood starts scoring. I mean, when the Scouse Bastards come to our house, sir, it'll be pretty easy. 83rd minute, chance of the match. Wan-Bissaka gets to Pogba in the box, controls it well, but shoots the ball right at Alisson. Tough to control here from Pogba. Chance of the game for United. I thought this was the winner. Paul P. almost lights out.
It would, you know, it would have been a great goal, great win. It was a huge chance. Alisson, I mean, he just stood there, but he banged it right at him. It was great control in the first place. I mean, a lesser player probably wouldn't even have had the chance. So inches, mate. I mean, this game was on a nice edge, especially in the second half, and it was there.
89th minute, Greenwood comes on for Bruno. That's really all she wrote. You know, I would say you maybe play another 20 minutes, United probably win the match. But again, a nil-nil, a team that's learning, a team that's growing. I don't necessarily think we showed them a little too much respect, like you said. I think we got to eventually just realize that we are the world beaters. We have the players. We got Cavani. Our midfield, too, can defend Liverpool. We can go blow for them in their house. We can beat them easily, you know, and I think part of the Sir Alex Ferguson mindset would have been you got to give one to get one. And if you're trying to win a title, those 3 points at Anfield, the momentum off of that could be the difference. Again, playing it safe, there's nothing against that either when you have the lead, too. So, you know, you could go either way here. I just thought we had him, sir. We had him.
We did, but, you know, we didn't lose that Burnley match and had to go into this game. You need to win. You still, I think, you shut them down at their own house, clean sheet, and could have gone your way very much easily. But it is what it is. That's the game of football. It doesn't always go your way, but we kick off from here. We stay top of the table, and now it's about, like, the big games, the games that you have to win, the Fulhams, right? Liverpool, you don't win. That's no, you know.
You know the big games are? Every goddamn
every game. Every goddamn game.
You know, now every game is like this. But still, like, you know, as far as getting a draw in Anfield, you told me before the match, I would have been happy with that one, sir. And you tell me to get a clean sheet, you know, I'd be happy with that as well. So from United fan perspective, you got to think long term. This is a long con. We're trying to win a league. We're not trying to, you know, win no energy drink cup, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And the team is young. The team is going to get better. And the team played a really good team today and went toe for toe to them. And honestly, I think if they just went for it, they would have beat this team.
But they
don't want to get cut open early, let a few goals in, and then it turns ugly. So it's just, it's inches. This game, you know, you're not going to win the season tonight.
But now we know that. But yeah. Now we know that, right? So it's one of those things where you know that Liverpool are scared. You know they're not playing well. You know that we're better than them. You know, like you said, the best way to say it is that we were at our best, and we should have beat them. That's as a fan, the biggest frustration is like we literally should have beat them and we didn't play well.
No, we could have played so much better and we could have probably beat them handily. But, you know, you can't always play well. We've been riding this team a lot, sir. Bruno's gotten a lot of minutes. So has Rashford. And it's going to happen. You know, you're not going to be on every single day.
All right, sir. But what do we know? We're just the fans of the couch. Let's hear from the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Good performance. I just wonder, you are now 16 matches unbeaten away from home in the Premier League. It's the longest run, actually, since you were a player just over 20 years ago. And I just wondered, given that you were a part of that successful team, what it takes to have those big long runs, whether you're getting similar feelings about this group now to perhaps you were 20, 22 years ago?
Well, it takes good players. That's the first thing. That's, of course, the players have deserved the results. The mood is getting better. The belief is there. You know, coming away from here with 1 point and players are disappointed, it's a good feeling. There's a hunger in this team.
Okay, Sam Luckhurst.
Oh, Lee, I think you could have answered my question there by saying that the players were disappointed not to have won the game, but is that a real sign of progression that you've gone to Anfield, you probably should have won given the chance you've had, and you've not won, but you are still top of the table?
I think it just shows at least we've come quite a bit from when we were here last time. I know we're a bit disappointed in the performance as well, not just the result, because... You know, you have to really turn up. They're a very good side, very, very good side. Today they've had some injury problems and we didn't pounce on that opportunity that their injuries gave us. But we felt we grew into the game, got stronger and stronger, and we're closest to winning it towards the end.
Laurie Whitwell.
Hi, Ollie. Just on your team selection, was it a case of giving Liverpool a bit of a surprise in where Paul played? And do you feel that in the second half, you clearly stepped it up and had the best chances. Could that have happened earlier at all, do you think?
We didn't play well in the first half at all. We could have... We grew more and more into the game. It takes time sometimes, you know, when you go away to difficult places like this is against a difficult or a good team to impose yourself on the game. We didn't do well enough to cause some problems first half. But we defended well and you didn't really feel... They were going to cause us too much, or they didn't cause too many chances either. At Paul's position, it was just something that we thought that it was going to suit him to play there today, and I thought it showed. I thought Paul was excellent, and he should have had the winner maybe.
I mean, look, Ole says it right, sir. I mean, he says didn't play well in the first half. Pogba played lights out, and for everyone who's criticizing this manager, just remember. What a double black diamond dealing with Paul Pogba's agent are, and he's getting the best out of Paul P, even though he's probably going to leave this summer, and to be able to get this dressing room motivated and have him playing on, like, arguably one of our best players in a really hard situation. You know, Mourinho couldn't do it, right? Probably Klopp couldn't do it. There's a lot of managers who couldn't do that, and Ole, respect to Ole to get this team where they are. And that's something a lot of people aren't discussing, how he's getting the best out of Paul Pogba. Want to weigh Paul Pogba.
No, his man management has been terrific. And especially with personalities, they're not always the easiest to get, you know, to get the best out of. We've seen that with Paul. But right now, it seems like he has him dialed in and just focused on the job it has, that task. And that's like win the league. And you see Paul Pogba almost has that eye for it like he had at the World Cup, right? Where he's just like, he's all locked in on the thing that they're trying to achieve this season.
Exactly.
And as long as you keep him focused on that, he's going to continue to perform. And you saw that today. If the forwards were linking up a little bit better, if Bruno had a little bit of a better game, midfield as well. We were a little scratchy there, too.
Sure, it's like everyone hates United. Everyone hates Ole.
Good.
It's like, you know, it's just because people are biased.
But no excuses, right? You didn't hear him whinging about the referee. It's like he took it like a man, and that's from our manager. Because, like, you know what Klopp is saying. Klopp's like making, you know, get the excuse factory, man. Chugga.
All right. We're going to hear from another Manchester United legend here. When Paul Scholes speaks, we listen to what Paul Scholes had to say about the match.
It's a great result for Man United. And, you know, you look at the Liverpool side of things, a lot's been made of the centre-halves missing, but I think the forwards are really struggling,
aren't they?
Really struggling, just don't seem to be clicking, they're snatching at things, a little bit panicky. So I think they're going to have to improve. You know, they're going to have to pick up their quality very quickly if they're going to have a say in this league title.
Yeah, 3 points from 12 for Liverpool now.
Well, that run's not good enough. I think today was pretty circumstantial in terms of the result, the performance. I don't think either manager will be too disappointed. I think Solskjaer will be happy, very happy. I don't think Jurgen Klopp will be too disappointed. It's really important that they didn't go 6 points clear today, Manchester United. I mean, that's really important. So it was one of those games where the longer it goes, you didn't see Liverpool throwing on attacker after attacker. It was almost like, it's not so bad, don't give this game away. And if anything, Manchester United looked the more dangerous the longer the game went on.
Okay, so 0-0 at Anfield, still one.
There we go. Michael Owen finally giving United some respect when he played for Manchester United. You know that, sir. I mean, come on. Paul Scholes said it right. You know, Liverpool looking pretty weak. I love that. I mean, the team will should not be named the Scouse Bastards, sir. On the decline, United with a great win. Great win.
There's a win? 1 point, not a win, but it's an achievement.
Well, you know, you can say a draw is a win. It's a win for the title race.
It's important not to drop those points, right? We did drop 2 points, but you let them get 3 points, you lose. It's a different type of animal. What you heard from Ole, right? The players are disappointed.
You
in
like
the draw.
How I spun zone that that mistake on
yeah,
the win.
Sorry,
right?
I barely. I asked, what spun what? But that's the right type of attitude. We keep hearing that out of Ole, and that's good. It's like the team is developing a character. They're developing an inner justice. And the fact is, like, they went in, wanted to win today, didn't, and they're pissed that they haven't. And you can see it in Bruno's face when he got hooked. This team, you know, the standards have risen. Something. Think about where we were a year ago when we lost this team. We were just like a mile off the pitch. And now we hung with them and arguably the better team. We got to kick on from now and just keep winning games.
What is this? Ole's third time going to Anfield. I think the first time deflating, the second time deflating. And now it's one of those where you want to talk about improvement. Look at that, you know, as a fan and like being like, we should have won. Like we should be beating them. They're not good. You know, and that's everyone says it, sir. You look around the league, everyone's saying it's theirs to lose as far as the title is concerned, and we look the better side. So as a fan, NBC, LFC, all the bias aside, sir, you know, we're in this thing, and no one's putting respect on our name. That's the biggest crime, is like people are looking across Manchester. People are looking for the team who should not be named instead of us as far as who can really challenge for the league, and I think when everyone realizes it, it's going to be a little too late. Looking at the stats, 66% of the ball went to the team which should not be named, 34% to United. Shots on target, they had 3, we had 4. 14 attempts in total, you know, but not really quality. Corners 7-3, they had us there, and they did foul us much more. Looking at their match reaction, Victor Lindelof made 10 clearances against the terrible team that we hate the most of any. The most by any United player in a Premier League game this season. I mean, he played lights out. Lindelof, great play from him. You love to see it when him and Bayer are both playing well. How long have we been waiting for that one? And they're healthy. Knock on wood. I hope Bayer's healthy. Manchester United are unbeaten their last 16 away matches in the Premier League. They've won 12, drawn 4. Only once have they gone longer without a defeat on the road, and that was in September 1999. Sir, we all remember that season. Manchester United are on top. Are the first side to stop Liverpool scoring at Anfield in a Premier League match since Manchester City in October 2018.
Not bad.
It's pretty good. That was their 43rd match since then. And Marcus Rashford was called offsides 5 times in the match. Unfair to Marcus. Again, I think he was involved in a really good chance. I think he was playing on the right versus the left. You know, Cavani didn't come on until the 60th minute. So I'd like to see Martial, Rashford, and Cavani. You got to keep playing Marcus. You know, he's a legend.
No, and we talked about it. You didn't hook him because he's always got the little bit of quality that he can bust out of his locker in the 90th minute. It wasn't his day-to-day, wasn't Bruno's day-to-day, but they've been so lights out for us. We've been so reliant on them that, you know, you need some other players to step up. Paul Pogba has been recently. I thought he was again today. I thought he was going to get that match winner. That would have been huge, but wasn't meant to be, sir. On to the cottage.
All right, time to check into the table.
I love this game!
Sir, when we were top of the league, you love this game. Manchester United, number one, sir. Oh, love it. 37 points. Number two, Leicester City, 35. Timo should not be named, 34. Tottenham, 33. Shitty, 32. But they have 2 games in hand. So if Shitty end up winning those 2 games in hand, sir, they would have 38. So that is the caveat. Everton, 32. Can't mess with them. Chelsea, 29. Southampton, Chelsea. 29. West Ham, 29. David Moyes, tactical genius. Checking in with the bookies for who is favored to win the league. This is the most disrespectful thing I'll read on the pod ever. Shitty favored, minus 150 to win the league. Clearly, there's 2 games in hand being valued. The next, Liverpool, plus 330. Then Manchester United, plus 500. Then Tottenham, plus 1,800. No respect, sir. No one thinks United can do it. 5 times your money for United to win the title, sir. We are at the top of the table. Not a bad pickup if you're, you know, a gambling man.
No, and you got to think about how much better this team can play, how much better they've been playing than they had at the beginning of the season. So no, sir, there's never going to be any respect for this team. No respect for United. It's us against the world. It always has been, always will be. We just have to remind people what this club's all about, and that's about getting silverware. And that, you know, we have to push it to the end. If we, you know, we might not necessarily win the title this year, but we should push that race to the very end of the season, because we haven't been in a race, what, 8 years?
No, it's been a while. Sorry, where were we 8 years ago? That's all I got.
I wasn't
say.
Here. I wasn't in the bunker.
Can't remember. Can't remember where I was 8 years ago. So there's the next match, and when you're in a title race, every match is pretty much a cup final. We have Fulham versus Manchester United on Wednesday, January 20th, noon, basically 12:15 p.m. Pacific, 3:15 Eastern. Sir, Fulham, Craven Cottage, we love it. It's a great stadium to go to. Highly recommend post-pandemic. We'll see you there. Can't wait, sir. Can't wait for post-pandemic.
Dark ales, sunny London day. It's a great stadium, great ground, it's a great away end, especially when you get in. We had some difficulty, but we got in and saw that Martial goal, sir. It was a hell of a day. Ole was at the wheel, ripping and rolling.
Yeah, what was it? Martial had two, Pogba had one. It was not a bad match. Versus Fulham lifetime, Manchester United, we've won 51, we've drawn 19, we've lost 14. We got their number. First time we ever played, it was January 14th, 1905. We drew in the FA Cup 2-2, sir. Early days for United, but we did win our first league, I believe, the following season, or maybe I believe it was the following season we did win our first. Form coming in, Fulham tied Newcastle. They tie Southampton. That's not bad. Then FA Cup, they beat QPR, Queen's Park Rangers, another great stadium in London. If you're ever looking to go to a match, sir, been there. Championship game, EPL game, done both there as well. Tottenham, they drew 1-1. And then Chelsea, they played well against, but they did have a man down early. Chelsea beat them 1-0. Nervy for Chelsea. So you want to talk about a team that is 18th, bottom of the table, drawing Southampton, drawing Tottenham, and then Chelsea eking out a victory when they're down a man. So you know what? We're going to play up and down to all competitions here. You know Manchester United, Fulham's not going to be easy at home.
There are no easy matches in the Premier League, and Fulham are playing a lot better than they were at the beginning of the season. They are compact. They defend well, especially Craven Cottage, small ground, right? So it's like you don't have so much space to cover. They looked, I mean, Chelsea had nothing to do, and they got that player sent off. That kind of like galvanized them. They're not going to be, it's just like Sheffield, right? Like that was not an easy match, and they never are. So we got to go in there, take them seriously. And I'm picking a strong start 11, sir. Strong 11.
Well, just not to create a huge tangent, we actually went to a full match when they were the championship, and we got VIP tickets that were like
West End. It ran on the Thames.
No, we were sitting next to the youth. Yeah. You know when you look at the bench, it's like we were next to the
behind the U18s.
Like really next to the seat next to me was like the U18s for Fulham. We're like right behind the manager's dugout. I think it was like $35. So you know. They're in the Premier League. You can't get those seats, but they'll probably drop down this season. They're back in the championship. You usually pair it with another match out in London and it's a great stadium. Sit next to the U18, sir. You know, not far from Mick McCarty.
No, they're redoing the stand on the water on the Thames. So it's a great place. Grab a beer at halftime. Go in, enjoy the match. Even better as United
fan. You sound like a Fulham fan.
No, I'm just saying it's a nice away ground. It's got different than QPR. Talk about that. That's like night and day. Two stadiums in London.
I'll tell you.
Different crowd.
Yeah, QPR is a little rougher.
That's a dark ale out of the bucket, right?
Yeah. They like literally have a bucket of dark ale, and then you just dip your cup in a bucket of like old ale, and then you drink it there. That was great. A little history on Fulham. Founded in 1879. They're London's oldest football club playing professionally. The club has spent 27 seasons in the top division, the majority of which have come in two periods, the 1960s and the 2000s. The latter period was associated with the former chairman, Mohammed Al-Fayed. He's the guy who has the Michael Jackson statue outside the stadium. I think that's being torn down by the new owner, who also owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fulham have reached two major finals. In 1975, they lost 2-0 to West Ham in the FA Cup final. And in 2010, they played Atletico Madrid in the UEFA European League final, losing 2-1 in extra time. Their main rivals are with West London clubs Chelsea and Queen's Park Rangers, sir. So a little rivalry when they play in West London. And then also, because we're the American Red Devils, we have to give a shout-out to an American who played for Fulham. There are a few Brian McBride, obviously. Clint Dempsey played for Fulham. He actually scored he's their leading scorer in the Premier League, scored a club record 50 Premier League goals, and he made history in that 2010 UEFA European League final, being the first American to ever appear in a major European Cup final. So shout out to Clint Dempsey, US national team legend, but he did a lot of work for Fulham, sir.
Talk about a player that doesn't get a lot of respect, you know? It's like all the new boys, all the Americans. There's one on Chelsea, he gets a lot of hype. Clint, he was a, you know, hard-nosed workman type player.
Mean mugging, dude. Mean mugging. He was grit city. You know, want to talk about grit week. Clint Dempsey, you know, born with it.
You think
born,
he's losing to Trinidad and Tobago, bro?
No, he ain't. I mean, Clint Dempsey, a player, you know, obviously then he went to Tottenham, linked up with Bale, and then went to Seattle, you know, which I think he kind of ended his career a little early. But, you know, a top American, and he did feature for Fulham. Fulham does have a relationship, American owner now. You know, and they have always had a few American players.
And he had that one season where he was lights out, where he was like, what, you know, one of the better
20 plus goals in all comps.
Yeah, it was Fulham. Very solid for an American.
Yep. Physio room injuries for United. Matic has a tight groin, you know, so he's probably back. That was a late fitness test for this one. He's 50-50. Rojo's out. Palestri's out. B Dubs has a knock, and Phil Jones cashing those checks. Sir, given those are the injuries, what is your lineup for Fulham?
Going to the cottage, sir. Did you say they have an MJ statue out front? A Michael Jackson statue?
Used to have. You never saw that? So Michael Jackson.
We were a little gassed when we rolled up to the cottage, sir.
We talked about the cottage. So Michael Jackson has watched the game in the cottage. And then the owner, you know, posthumously tried to like make Michael Jackson like a part of the club, and then made a statue of him outside. And then that was torn down by the new owner, who also owns the Jags. So, you know, you can look up the Michael Jackson. One of the weird things, football's got a lot of weird things. That's one of them.
There you go. I just wanted to clarify. This is who I have for my starting 11 against Fulham on Wednesday. I'm going to do Hendo and net. I'm going to do a back four of, we're going to do AWB, Baye, Maguire, and Telles. We're going to do a midfield of Matic, Donny van de Beek, and Bruno Fernandes. I'm going to do Cavani up front, Martial on the left, and Greenwood on the right.
I feel like you need the Jeopardy music while you're coming up in your lineup. I'm going to say Dave Says World number one in net. Wan-Bissaka, Baye, Maguire, Shaw, Pogba, Fred, midfield two. I want to see that. I want to see Donny at 10, Martial, Cavani, Rashford. A little rotation there. Spice it up, sir. I want to see Pogba, Fred, and then I want to see Donny at number 10. Bruno looks like he needs a rest. You know, I thought about bringing in Greenwood. Rashford could use a rest, but I think Rashford needs to play his way into form right now.
He needs a goal, and we got a rest. We got the Scousers next weekend, sir, in the FA Cup. So, game's coming thick and fast.
That's going to be great. Booking the bookies, Fulham plus 500, the draw plus 320, Manchester United minus 182. Heavy favorites there, as you would expect. Goal scorers, Bruno plus 280, Cavani plus 333, Rashford plus 400, Martial plus 450. Sir, what's your score prediction? Who do you think is going to score first for Manchester United?
I'm 3-0, sir. I think Cavani gets the first one. Maybe give him a Hattie. Why not?
4-1, Martial gets the brace, sir. Give one to Cavani. Pogba will give one as well. Similar to like when we went away, you love to see United rolling Fulham at Craven Cottage, sir. United in the news. Big news here. Sir, my friend said he saw the white Pele. Waza, Wayne Rooney retires. Derby County manager now. His playing career done and dusted here. You're the big Rooney guy. You're wearing the number 8 in the bunker. How are you feeling about Rooney retiring?
End of a great career, you know. He's the United all-time goal scorer. One of my all-time favorite players. Just an absolute beast. Probably peaked early, you know, he was a man-child, like 18 to 26, he was insane. And then as soon as he got those hair plugs, I think it was downhill from there. But, you know, great career, wishing him the best of luck in managing. Hey, you never know, he could be the next Worldie.
You never know. Wayne Rooney, you know, joined United August 31st, 2004, spent 13 years at the club, scored 253 goals, 5 English Premier League titles, 1 FA Cup, 3 EFL Cups, sir. A few Community Shields. Who doesn't have those? 1 Champions League, 1 Europa League, and 1 FIFA Club World Cup. What a career for Manchester United. An all-time player, sir. Also all-time scorer for England as well. it's one of those, he's one of those players where I feel like the accolades don't really match up with his stature in England. Maybe it's because the English press tears down their own. I don't know why. Seems like Rooney should have a little more respect. Obviously, on the pod, I make light of him getting hammered in the VW bug with the grandmother and drinking in DC United, getting arrested in the airport for being Lit City. But regardless, that's how all old English players did it. You know, I think he's just one of those coming up, and then there's more media. But Rooney, the accomplishments for him, and is it really because he tried to leave United that maybe there's a little stain on that record? Because phenomenal player. I mean, if you think of him at United, you think Wayne Rooney, young, hungry, those tackles, always could get a red. You love it.
No, you love it. You love the signing, the type of signing it was, just a statement of intent, right? Best talent coming out of Everton in a long, long time, and you buy him up. And he was just knew what it was all about. I think the reason that he has that thing is because, you know, it's England, and they love to, like, set these expectations of players that are like, you got to win us the World Cup on your back.
Yeah, I think
for a team that's not that good. And they always do that. They did the same with Beckham, and they did the same with Rooney, and you know, you can never live under that shadow. They were always hard on him, but dude, one of the best English players of the generation, just like an absolute stud. Like, especially for 6 to 8 years, he was a top talent, world class talent.
You're totally right. So it's like Beckham's the same. It's like he doesn't have a home. It went bad on leaving United, and then didn't win. So then, like, it's there's always that for some reason being that English player, and you look at the likes of Rashford now, trying to come up with all that scrutiny, all that pressure. And they can't put a foot wrong. Imagine like Wayne Rooney today, you know, like it was social media, you know, and it's our gigs today. He's a dog, sir.
He's a dog. But Rooney, I mean, he has a lot of the traits that you want to see in a United player, like the hard work, the resiliency, streaky player as well, who goes spells without goals and then he would start banging them in, you know.
He played all over the pitch, midfield, 10. Forward,
unselfish. You know, he would always play kind of out of his position. The time he actually like played as an outright striker, 2010, 2011. I think that was when he had the biggest goal haul that he had in his career. But otherwise, he was playing all over to support the team, and that's what it's all about as a United player, is like whatever it takes to win. And for me, that's why, dude, he's one of my favorites of all time. And I think, you know, he doesn't get the respect they deserve, just like United doesn't get the respect they deserve, because United against the world, and he's like, United great.
He's statue level.
Yeah, I would.
You
agree.
Know, he's like statue level Old Trafford. I just don't think he gets that type of respect that he's due. Sir, give me your favorite Wayne Rooney goal and your favorite Wayne Rooney moment.
Favorite Wayne Rooney goal has got to be like the 2011 Derby bicycle kick, just because it's such an insanely amazing goal. I also like the AC Milan goal that we scored first leg. I think it was 06. Like quarters, right? That was before what's his name, Kaká, like smoked us in the second leg. But he had that great take, very end of the death. Favorite moment was like, when was it? Like he was doing the betting under Van Gaal, and he did the punch out and the knockdown.
No, yeah, it was under. I think it was under Van Gaal, and then him and I forget the other player's name. They were actually boxing late night when they're drunk, and then like the other player knocked them out, and then he scored a goal and did the boxing celebration. Great moment for me. Also, the one where. I think there was a challenge. He was yelling at the referee during the Newcastle match. And like mid yelling at the referee, the ball came to him and he volleyed it viciously into the net. I mean, Rooney, there's so many legends. Smoking cigs by the pool. So all of them in between.
Skinhead against Wolves. When he's like doing clattery, the drop ball.
Yeah, it's like completely nuts. Wayne Rooney, you love to see it. What a career. Can't believe it's over. And now he's Derby County manager. You think we'll see him manage at Manchester United?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what he does with Derby. See if we can get him up. I don't know. We'll
I mean, Frank. Right,
Super Frank. How's he doing?
Dying. next bit of news here. This is how great our transfer window is going. Jesse Lingard, his representatives are talking to Nice. Ole played this down. He was pretty coy. Again, this report per Sky Sports. Pretty credible. What do you make of Jesse Lingard? Do you even care?
No, I mean, I care because I want players that aren't, you know, contributing to make their way out of the club. It's for the best for everything. So I would like Jesse Lingard to get another chance somewhere else, but his United playing days are over. So, you know, it's like Romero and Rojo and Phil Jones. You just don't want players that don't have a role anymore. You got to move them out. You got to get the, exactly. And it's hard because they got these fat contracts that Ed Woodward gave to them, like bumper deal. Jesse Lingard's going to pay like 150,000 quid a week to like, what, upload onto a Snapchat?
There we go. Next one, Fosu Mensah, deal done. Bayer Leverkusen, there was great video I tweeted out on social media. Pogba bye, saying goodbye. I mean, wish him well. Any young player coming up at United wants more playing time. Hey, good on you. And then Amad Diallo in Manchester training with the first team. Ole says everything's going well. Amad Diallo tweeting out, watching Ronaldo montage videos, him and Sir Alex. Sir, I mean, Amad Diallo, the legend is building. It is coming. I cannot wait for him to be on the bench. I think fans are going to lose their minds.
I mean, part of it's like there's a mystique around him because there's so little of him has been seen, right? There's been so few minutes and so few performances that we can just go through and get excited about. You see him, you know, slotting in with the rest of the team. First of all, he's a tiny tot. He's like Dan James size. He's a little guy. But the response you're hearing from Ole about him, he's like, he's settling in very well. He's like, he's settling, whether he makes his appearance against Liverpool or against Fulham or against the FA Cup.
I think
the, he's going to feature that very soon. Yeah, I think he's going to feature very soon.
All right. Jump into fan questions. Thank you for all the banter here across social media. We absolutely love it. We try to get to as many as possible. At Burkett Mets. Quote, a year ago, nothing was expected from United going away to Liverpool. This year, most fans are disappointed we didn't manage to win the match. That says everything about how this team has developed. 12 unbeaten in the league. Not the perfect result, but a good point. I mean, got to think on the upside there. At JDW300, point apiece. Stay three up on it's hard for me to read. The team must not be named. City to play Palace. Probably one of our most solid performances this season. Offsides were the death of us. So poor on our runs, three great chances, two great saves by Allison, on to Craven Cottage. Love that. At MJ Fitz, I thought Shaw was man of the match. Backline was solid. We have good players going forward. They are just that 1% off, which happens to be the highlights. The need for another right winger or a striker is clear. What do you make of that? Who is your man of the match? Was it Luke Shaw? And was it clear that we need a right winger here?
I mean, I think you can make an argument for Luke Shaw. I think you can make an argument for Victor Lindelof. He was very solid. You know, maybe you do because you would have liked to like be able to pull a Bruno or a Rashford without worry that whoever you bring on is not going to be as potent going forward. You know, I think that's it. The players that we've kind of been riding week in, week out, some of them have just not been performing to the same level last couple games. Understandably so. You can't perform that much. So having more options is important. That's why you need like some depth. And we're growing that, right? You can bring in a Donny, a Cavani, a Greenwood, and that's a good place to be in because we weren't there a year ago. We didn't even have Bruno yet.
I think, you're starting to see the bench make more of an impact in decisions to make who to pull off. Do we put on extra attacker? Do you put on midfielder? How's Greenwood slot in? Does Pogba move to 10? I mean, there's a lot of things going on there.
You should look at the starting 11 in that game last year. Andreas Pereira started. I mean, it's like, this is not the same United side.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. We've come a long way. A long way.
Just kidding. Love you, Andres. At Danicus Maximus, quote, defensive pairing looked good. We seemed happy to take the point. Nothing too great. Nothing too poor. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodward out. Hashtag top of the league. I would agree. You know, we did have those chances, but the passing was scratchy out the back. You know, if I had something good to say about the team that I absolutely hate, they look sharper coming out of the back than we do. It's almost like we're trying to do it and forcing it and inviting more pressure than we need to at some points in the game.
No, but the United side that's going to be playing up to its ability wins this game, right? We did not play as well as we can play. So that's what's encouraging is just the upside, I think, is so much higher. This team has
exactly
many gears that it can find, and it's just getting going.
At BryGuy666, quote, always wanted to win, but I'll take the draw. The lads need to be better and finish when they have those clear chances. Could have been up 2-0. Also, offsides really needs to be sorted out. Did you, sirs, like seeing Bruno fired up at the end? This man needs to be named captain. I loved it. I love Bruno going crazy on the ref.
I mean, there's like an argument to be said that like, yeah, he could be a cap, but he's almost like so hot fire that you need like a little bit more of a level head with Maguire. So I'm starting to actually understand why you don't make him captain because I think Ole pulled him because he might have gotten red, right? He was just like ready for a fight. Pissed off.
You love that. At Greek Fest 1981, the team that should not be named can suck it. Lucky bastards. Love that banter. At Tweesauce 13, shit game to watch. Back four played well, which is encouraging. For whatever reason, this team can't win big games. Again, big games away, Anfield. It's always going to be a tall task. I mean, fair criticism to all the United fans who wants to win every single match. Sure. You know, they are out there. At Calizona Cast, 3 points from 15 with one goal scored against the top six is not good enough to win a title. need to be better in the second half of the season.
Hey, you play the shit teams a lot more than you play the big teams. Last year, we won all the big games, lost to all the small teams, and where were we? We were like 27 points off the table. And this year, we're beating all the small teams, and we haven't lost everyone. We drew the Scouts Bastards. We drew City. And we, you know, it's just like we need to work on that. And I think part of it's like we're giving those teams too much credit. Probably giving them too much credit, probably sitting back too much. And what we need to do is just go toe for toe and take it at them. And I think that's a, you know.
Well, it's funny because it seems to me in the Champions League, we kind of went toe to toe. We got burned and Ole's kind of learned from that and playing a little more conservative. And I think that fits the league because you can afford to draw at, you know, the shit box and then go toe to toe at home. Hopefully with, you know, some fans in the stands, you know. Knock on wood. At N by Mayba 13, quote, strong defensive effort and Shaw's man of the match. Shaw getting a lot of shit. I do think he played well. Shut down, you know, Salah, not easy to do. Bruno and Rashford, not on their day. Still fuming that Rashford didn't play that pass to Cavani, but still top of the league. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Look, Rashford's going to make mistakes, but the theme is kind of what makes it a little more frustrating. He's trying to do too much, and I think that is kind of showing these days.
Well, that's you know, that's like the lack of experience in this side. You know, I think you're starting to see that. If this team was a little bit farther along, had a couple more years together, I think like they grow into this game, they win this game, and they keep their head. We were just, you know, we gave the ball away cheaply. We weren't sharp. We weren't direct enough. And if we had been, we would have taken those chances. But that's the way things go.
At you, Boston, quote, sad that we didn't get to celebrate a victory, but Victor, Harry, and Shaw played very, very well. Unfortunately, so did Allison. Take the points, stay on top, and go grab 3 points on Wednesday. All in all, we come out this well. And then we're going to finish it here. At Michael72, a lot of fans going to be frustrated with the result, but just the fact we can go to Anfield, play below our capabilities, and come away with a point is a positive. Defense wins championships, and ours played well today. Hashtag top of the table. I have to agree, you know, as a fan watching 90 minutes nil-nil against City, against, you know, the team we should not be named, it's tough. There haven't been many barn burners, but when there were barn burners, you want the RB Leipzig type scoreline? No, you don't want that. You want the nil-nil, play conservative, we're still top. Go feed the team against Fulham. Get the goals against Fulham.
Yeah, because you know what? Defense wins championships. And that was the thing that we needed to work on, right? We were leaky as hell at the beginning of the season. Now defense is tightening up. We got to get the scoring boots on again. So we got to freshen up a little bit up front. You know, maybe give Rashford a chance on the bench. Same with Bruno. Maybe bring him off the bench for Fulham.
Absolutely. Look, that's the podcast. We appreciate you listening. Fan content. That's right. You got to hear American Red Devils in the bunker, sir. I'm wearing my Keane jersey. You're wearing the Rooney 08. You absolutely love to see it, dude. This game, this team, this league, this season, this podcast. We've been through the ups and downs, sir. I'll tell you what. Watching this team is not good for your health. Now we're top of the table.
It's still not good for your health because even now it's like the stakes have increased. Expectations are higher. You know, we're like touching that chalice and we all want to hold on to it, right? So it's going to be nervy. You know, it always is. But everything worth fighting for is, it's like the stakes are high because we ain't fighting for no Europa League spot, no Champions League spot. We're fighting for the title. Exactly. We're fighting for the title, and it's like only the best make it out at the end of those 38 games. And we still got more than half the season to go, right?
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it, sir. If you want to support the podcast, check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. It goes a long way. We want to be supported by you, the fans, directly. And if you want to pick up some cool merch, visit our website, www.americanreddevils.com. There's great fan content there. Drop 5 stars on iTunes, sir. We've had some amazing downloads the last 7 days. Give us our top 10 cities.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Schenectady, New York.
Wow. How did you pronounce that? You heard of that before?
Yeah, bro. We're from East Coast, dude. Alexandria, Virginia. Dublin, Ireland. Sir, keep us going.
I would have said Schenectady.
Yeah, bro. Well,
Chicago, Illinois. Adelaide, Australia. Denver, Colorado. Olean, New York, sir. Finish us off.
Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. Hotlanta, Georgia. And last but not least, Houston, Texas. Thank you to all the American Red Devils out there. Listening week in, week out, sir. Don't listen to Arlo White. I'll tell you that. Don't listen to NBC Sports.
Oh, my God.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Put on Apple Music.
Just mute it.
Have some nice tunes. Mute them. They are absolutely not saying anything right. They don't get it. It's unbelievable, sir. But we could talk about NBC all day. Look, Manchester United, 21, sir. I'm rubbing that magic lamp. Can we get it? It's still there.
You're saying there's a chance.
How does it feel?
Ole is at the wheel.
Ole. Everybody knows.